Some days we go through the fire, and some nights are cold and dark. When you feel that your good has expired, the music is a good place to start. If you came to party, we'll show you how.
Just know I got you.
If you came to party, we'll show you how. Come as you are, so we can all get down. The world is so divided, we got to unite. Good vibrations make you feel alright.
It is time for Talkin' Music on your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. I'm joined today on the show by Sam Gellerstein of the Philadelphia-based brass band Snack Time. Sam, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And just a little bit of a disclaimer before you guys hear this. We have been lauded as a brass band for quite some time, but we are currently in the process of trying to... back when we first started, we were very much a brass band, but now our trumpet player plays guitar almost equally as much as he plays trumpet. We have a second guitar player playing lead guitar. I'm playing keyboards. The trombone player is playing keyboards. So we're really trying to let people know that as much as it's a band highlighting brass instruments, it's also just, we're a fun dance music rock band. That's just fun to be heard.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that was going to be my next question, which is how do you describe what you do?
So how I would describe what Snack Time does in 2024 is we aim to give people an hour of peace and give people an hour of a little bit of a mind clear. There's a lot of heartbreak and evil in the world, and not necessarily we're trying to avoid those subjects, but we're trying to really just give people a little bit of a reprieve, because I think it's hard enough to be subjected to so much hard stuff that we could just give each other 45 minutes to dance together. And, in the same way, we're really trying to make sure that people know that, like, we are so passionate about all this, but we just want people to also be able to have a little bit of a break.
And I think, you know, it brings up an interesting question about music and the power of music. What do you think on its, maybe on its best day or maybe on its worst day, what do you think the power of music is?
So I think that as long as, you know, we've been a civilization, civilizations dating way back, music has always been about joining communities together, whether it be for religious purposes, whether it be for communication, whether it be for anything. It was always made to gather people and to sort of unify people. So I think music at its best is a universal language that can bring all sorts of different people together and maybe make them consider their similarities versus their differences. We've been lucky enough to, when we started, we were a band that we were the first live music that people had heard in years, or no, sorry, months rather, because we played through the pandemic. That's how we started. So we went from the middle of the pandemic through all the way to, you know, the end of the pandemic. And people would say, hey, I hadn't heard music in 6 months. I haven't heard live music in a year. I haven't heard it in 2 years. And it was such an amazing experience. And thank you so much for doing this. It means so much to us. We've had people say that we've literally saved their life. They've had people that have been like, come up to us and be like, I was having horrible days and horrible thoughts, and I heard you guys and it made me reconsider. I think in its best, music can be absolutely one of the most important things that we have as humans, right? But, you know, music at its worst can be, you know, every band trying its best every single day to have to make a viral TikTok, trying to break through 100 million other bands without any sort of, it sometimes feels as if music is not necessarily about the music. It's more about the viral TikTok moment, the viral YouTube moment, and less about, like, the live experience is always gonna be the live experience, but like getting your actual recorded music out is tough because, you know, record labels are trying to protect whatever their investment is. And sometimes that doesn't go hand in hand with being an up and coming musician.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of an entrepreneur and business person you also have to be.
And that's where it's always started with us. Like, from off rip, you know, the whole band was working musicians. We were all playing corporate events. We were playing weddings. We were playing with a million other bands. We were, you know, 5 days a week, freelance musicians. So when we started this, it was always about like doing things our own way. We, you know, we started with like curated picnics that we'd like have a hand selected menu. We always try to make it a little different. And I think that's where Snack Time has really been able to shine, is that we went a little bit of a different path. We wanted to reach the people before we didn't have an original song for a year and a half of playing. You know what I mean? We were just out there playing covers for the people, to gather people and to make them dance and to give them, like I said, a little bit of that reprieve. So we try to come to the fans prior to us making them come to us. And I think that that's what's really helped us gather a really loyal fan base, is that I think they could feel the appreciation that we have for them. And we've always just tried to do things our own way, you know, our own events, our own ticket sales, for as long as we can. And now we're sort of more folded into the industry at large, which is amazing and a huge honor. But in the beginning, we really try to do things our own way.
And I love what you said about like, yes, you want to show up for the people, but it is in order to keep the industry alive. And I think that's a conversation we're all having. The people have to show up for the music, right? We have to support it. We have to be physical bodies in the room. We have to buy tickets. We have to purchase music. We have to value the art that music is.
And, you know, as much as it's absolutely an honor to always just have people show up at all, you're 100% right. Because without the ticket sales, without the record sales, we don't stand to make money online. All the money we are making is from live performance, which is amazing because it's our favorite thing to do. And, you know, selling merch just kind of buys more merch. So it's like the idea of people coming out and saying, you know what, I'm going to buy a shirt from you, can really be the difference of like us making or losing money. So it's like, it's a really cool thing when people believe in you enough to support you, to really like say like, I love you guys and I want to see you win. It's really awesome.
comes back around to the ones who start the first car. If you don't with us, I move down the way. Can't nobody with us, nothing more to say. Crazy when you give a damn the things you shouldn't give a damn to. Time and we want all the smile.
Man, they said Snack Time will never make it out of Rittenhouse.
Man, ain't nobody say that.
Snack Time bringing us I Don't Give a Damn, Sam of the band joining me today.
You mentioned this at the beginning that you're sort of in this process of figuring out what Snack Time is in 2024. What's the future that you see for the band, or what's the future that you hope for the band, or are you really more about just kind of staying in the present moment?
You know, it's always been about the present moment, but in the same way I've said this in a couple different interviews, I truly believe that what we're doing has some sort of there's a destiny to it, right? Like from the beginning, it's always felt right. We've always just been following what feels right. And we've been very lucky to have the backing and the support of so many people as we go on. So, you know, I try not to get too far ahead of ourselves because no one could see, but you know, Snack Time 2024 is the same answer I had for Snack Time 2023. A little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. You know, when we come to Colorado, if 100 people say, wow, Snack Time's sick, and the next time we come to Denver, they're going to come out, that means the world to us. And, you know, hopefully 5, 10, whatever, how many years down the line, we could be put in the place like Portugal the Man to take another band out that is working their butts off and could say, yo, you guys deserve this opportunity. And we'll have a room full of 5,000 people. It would mean a lot to us. You know, we just want to be seen. We just want to be heard. And we want to spread our message, and that's, you know, a message of togetherness and love and mutual respect and taking care of each other.
Yeah, love that, Sam. Thanks. Let's talk about touring with Portugal the Man a little bit. You've toured with them before. You're touring again starting in July. Talk about that dynamic a little bit.
So we were introduced to Portugal the Man at a local radio's block party in Philadelphia, and it was a really, really great thing. We opened up for the band Group Love at Brooklyn Bowl, and then next door, it's all in a compound, there's the room called the Fillmore, which is a bigger venue. And our management has a relationship with Portugal the Man that has spanned multiple years, and they were able to give us the opportunity to say, hey, you guys are in town, like you guys have some horns in your records, like would you want the guys to come sit in? And for them to say yes is not only just cool. A lot of bands have a lot to risk in their live performance because people come out and they say, damn, if this isn't amazing, it's not the same thing, I might not want to see them again. But they didn't blink at the opportunity. They said, absolutely. So 45 minutes before we went on, you know, and we had been nonstop all day between soundcheck, load-in, merch, gig, soundcheck. You know, it's like we come in, we learned about 6 of their songs in 45 minutes, and it was a great, great, amazing vibe. You know, it's like we had the chance to really suss each other out, and like it was an instant connection with them. So then once the February thing came along, they decided that they wanted to bring us on tour. And for them to do that, like I said, we're not like a band at this point that's going to sell 200 more tickets in any market. You know, we're still outside of our tri-state area. People are still finding out about us. So like they didn't bring us on because they're like, oh yeah, they're going to make sure they move tickets. It's like, no, they saw the value in us for what we can add to a live performance. So we were able to open up every show on that tour with an opening set. And then we supplemented Portugal and Man set with horns, percussion, extra guitars. And towards the end of that tour, we started doing an encore together, which was like a huge, bright, amazing moment. Like they, instead of like playing one of their, you know, hits that I'm sure that people would have loved to hear, they gave us the opportunity to sort of lead the way. And we played a cover of Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name, which was awesome because it also goes back into their messaging and their what they stand for and social justice. And it was a really magical moment. So then once they asked us to come back in, it was, you know, to play Red Rocks, which we had manifested earlier that year. It all seems like it's right place, right time. And we're so grateful and so excited. And they have these crew jackets that the entire band and the crew has, and they just sent us a surprise package that says our names on the front of their jackets. And theirs say Lords of Portland because they're all from Portland, but they made ours say Lords of Philly. They treat us like family. They treat us like, and we're so grateful for them. And it's like, they've taught us so many lessons, not only just about like what it's, you know, being on a bigger tour, but also just like logistically, we're learning things from their crew, from their tour management, from all their people. They're all like lending a hand to help us sort of level up our own process, which is, they don't have to do that. You know, they're busy. They're busy. They have a lot of stuff to do, and they're taking the time to make sure that we're taken care of. So it's really cool.
You, baby, saw something that I haven't seen. Can't move.
just heard Space Love. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Taya J, joined in the studio today by Sam Gellerstein of Snack Time.
I'm wondering, you're playing Red Rocks. It's a really big deal in the West to play Red Rocks. Is it as a big deal in the tri-state area?
Oh, it's huge. Every single person I mentioned it to is like, what? And I say this, we played in Denver on our way up to Aspen last year. And on the way from Denver to Aspen, we stopped at Red Rocks because I had never been there before. I was like, let's go take a little pilgrimage. And we all took a video. There's a video that I'm trying, I actually can't find it, but there's a video of us all like being like, we're going to play Red Rocks in 2 years. We're going to play Red Rocks in 3 years. Like, so, and you know, I said, no, we're playing Red Rocks next summer. And I had no real, we hadn't even been on tour with Portugal the Man. Like there, you know, there was nothing giving us any sort of indication that actually would happen, but you know, it was just sort of one of those manifestations and believing in yourself that I was like, no, we're going to be here next year. And it happened.
I love it. For our listeners, Snack Time will be playing Big B's Delicious Orchards on Friday, July 12th. How in the world did that happen? How did we get so lucky, Sam?
Well, we have a great booking agent and, you know, it just was a little bit of magic and we're super excited to be here. You know, I'm looking forward to what the orchard has to offer.
Nice. Good answer. You'll be here at the primo time, the height of cherry season. We are an agricultural valley. So you guys will have an amazing time. What's your hope for a show? Obviously, like playing alongside Portugal the Man is different than like a show in the orchard in a small community. What's your hope for this show or what's your hope for every show?
My hope for every show is that we have a room full of people that are ready to dance and ready to smile and ready to have fun and ready to like let go of their anxieties and their pretenses and their stresses and their preconceived notions about anything and just come to dance and relax in the way of their brain relaxing, but to like let go and just breathe and have fun together. And that's the biggest thing we always hope for. It's like, you know, we've had really amazing, huge shows, not with Portugal, but with other opportunities that we've gone there and it's been a big room, but like they didn't necessarily get as involved as we want, but we've also played rooms 150 people, 200 people that have been absolutely bonkers crazy, and that's honestly preferable to us.
Do you feel like you're representatives for Philly? Like, do you feel like you're repping your city when you travel across this country?
Always. We are so proud of Philadelphia, and I feel that a lot of people believe Philadelphia to be a talent city before an industry city. Like a lot of people will get discovered in Philly and go to LA or go to New York or go to Paris or whatever. And like, we want people to know, like, no, we're a band from Philadelphia, started in Philadelphia, rose to more successes in Philadelphia. And we will always be a Philadelphia band. And we're glad to spread the joy and the word of Philly further.
I love it. What do you love about your city?
I mean, I think that Philadelphia is so magic because it's like a city that's like super honest, and they'll tell you to F off, and they'll say, but they're also so kind. It's a city that really cares about its people. Well, the people of Philadelphia care about its people. And I think that on the whole, it's an honest city. It's a tough city, but it's a loving city. And I think that it gets a bad rep for its toughness before its love. But, you know, throughout, we've played in every kind of community in Philadelphia, and we've never been treated with anything except for respect from the people who actually live there. Not the rich and people who don't care about, like, those aren't the real people. I'm talking about the people who are like working, living, moving in Philadelphia. We've never been treated with anything except for respect. So we're so appreciative of it. The food's amazing. It's a more affordable town to live in than a lot of other places in this area. And I feel like it's a city that still has like a chip on its shoulder and something to prove, and we feel the same way.
Nicely said. Anything else, Sam?
Hey, y'all, please stream our music on Spotify if you're not listening to the radio. Obviously, support local radio, but you know, if you could follow us on social channels, it helps us get to places like you. You know, the more known we are online, the easier it is for us to get back to places like Colorado from Philadelphia. So if you love us, spread the word to other people, and, you know, we'll see you at the show.
That was Sam Gellerstein of the Philadelphia-based band Snack Time joining me today on Talkin' Music. Reminder to our listeners, Snack Time will perform at Delicious Orchards this Friday, July 12th, beginning at 6 p.m. To find out more about Snacktime, you can visit their website, snacktimephilly.com. I'm your host, Taya J. Thanks, as always, for listening.
When your highs are high and your lows are low, don't you get uptight, you just take it slow. 'Cause it's a long way up and a hard fall down. You woke up and you missed the show. You just remember.